Turn again to God's Word and read in Psalm 91. And we can read from the beginning, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and so on. And the Lord helping us, we would try to consider verses 9 and 10 this evening. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Well, as you know, since we've been considering this psalm for some time, it begins by speaking of the Lord as the secret place that we may dwell in. It's like the previous psalm as it opens, Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The Lord is our dwelling place for those who trust in Him. And the Psalm 91 begins, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Those who live at the throne of grace will go on being protected by the God of all grace. And the whole psalm is basically opening up and illustrating this truth, as we have in our text. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, or dwelling place, or home. You have made the Lord your home. And then if that's the case, then of course, no evil will come to you. How can it be otherwise? If you could imagine the king and his palace, and you brought in a backpack with a tent, and you set up your tent inside the king's palace, well, of course you're protected. And the word in the original is tent. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your tent. The end of verse 10. So, if your personal spiritual dwelling is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, then no plague, no stroke shall come into your dwelling. That's your spiritual dwelling, is in the secret place of the Most High, trusting in the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, shall remain under the shadow or the protection of the Almighty. And then no evil will befall you. The Lord helping us, we would look at two main points found in our text. In verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Here we have the Lord as our refuge and habitation, or dwelling place. The Lord is our refuge and dwelling place, or habitation. And in the second place, according to verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. We would consider the perfect protection that the Lord gives from evil. The perfect protection from evil that the Lord gives to those who trust in Him. First of all, the Lord is our refuge and habitation. We should point out that the words in verse 9 have three words in italics, which mean that they are not in the original. These words are supplied by the translators to help the flow of the sentence. Because thou hast made the Lord, and the words which is, those are in italics, so they are supplied by the translators, my refuge, even, and that's supplied, the Most High, thy habitation. So we can read the words without the words in italics. Read this verse without the italics. Because thou hast made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, it seems clear that the psalmist is speaking directly to the Lord. It's not so clear from here, but if you look at it in the original, because the words "has made" are actually borrowed from the second clause to help the flow of the sentence. But the psalmist is speaking to the Lord. For thou, Lord, art my refuge. He's praying to God, making a profession. Thou, Lord, art my refuge. And so he's basically doing what he said he would do in verse 2. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. He's speaking to the Lord. He's calling him my refuge. And think about it for a moment when the psalmist is praying to the Lord. That is Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal, and unchangeable God is his refuge. If the name of the Lord could only be impressed upon us, how we would be affected. If we could really, by grace, consciously trust in the Lord, in Jehovah, who is the self-existent, eternal, and unchangeable being. I am that I am, and He is our refuge. How safe we would be, how safe we would feel ourselves to be by abiding in Jehovah. As we considered last Sabbath evening, He that keepeth thy soul. Have you ever laid that to heart? We were considering at Mass night, remember now thy Creator. As I was trying to prepare for Mass night, I was thinking about Creator. He is my Creator. He brought me into existence. The very fact that I am here is by the power of God, holding our soul and life, keeping our soul, keeping our life, our Creator, the one who has the power of being in Himself. He is the uncaused cause. He causes all things, but nobody caused Him. He is the uncaused cause, and He has the power of being in Himself. He cannot but be. And He brought us into being by His own power. And He is our refuge. Are we looking to the Lord as our refuge? You say, why do I need a refuge? Because we are sinners. We have transgressed the holy and righteous law of God. We deserve His wrath and curse. And the Bible tells us that the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Are you disobedient? Am I disobedient? We're all disobedient to the law of God. We all deserve the wrath of God that is coming like a storm, the storm of divine vengeance. The wrath of God cometh. Therefore, we need a refuge. We need a refuge from the storm. We need to flee to Christ as our refuge, protection from the wrath to come. Are you running for your life, fleeing to Jesus for salvation, coming to God through Christ, the one who says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, the door is open, just like the gates of the cities of refuge. When a manslayer killed another man, as you remember well, I'm sure the relative of the one who was killed had the right to catch up with the manslayer and kill him. But in the mercy of God, he appointed 6 cities of refuge so that the manslayer could flee to one of these cities and be safe. They were called cities of refuge. And the gates were kept open. And the way is open before us. Christ is the door of salvation. And we are to flee to Him and enter in to salvation. And we are saved from the wrath that is coming. Thou, Lord, art my refuge. Are you saying of the Lord, my refuge? Even the words here in verse 2 are in italics. I will say of the Lord, or I will say to the Lord, perhaps, my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust, trusting in Christ for salvation. You have no other hope. Lean upon Him, look to Him, depend upon Christ to save you. And if you don't, you are lost. Well, we all need a refuge even after we have come to Christ. Because there can be, and there often is, a storm of great difficulties when everything seems to go wrong. Some parents of small children can often feel that there's a storm going on in the house. And when everything's chaotic, well, that's the time to be saying, Thou, Lord, art my refuge. Because if the Lord is our refuge, if we are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, then even all of these outward difficulties and hectic circumstances can't really take away our peace. And we need to lay that to heart. The Lord is our refuge. When there's a storm of persecution, when, for example, our relatives in the world don't understand us, or the colleagues at work ridicule us, or at least they seem like they're mocking us by the looks that they give us, or the silent treatment they give us. Well, the Lord is our refuge. I will say of the Lord, or as it here is in our text, Thou, Lord, art my refuge. Then what can really harm us? When Satan harasses us with his fiery darts of temptation, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, we are under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes, we feel the pain of such temptation, but fleeing to the Lord as our refuge, we are safe and we will be protected. The psalmist says, the Most High, thy habitation. So he comforts himself by speaking to himself and saying that the Lord, or the Most High, is your habitation, your home. So the first clause, he is speaking directly to the Lord. He says, for thou, Lord, art my refuge. Then he speaks to himself. You have made the Most High your home. Do we look to the Lord as our dwelling place, at home with the Lord, abiding in Him and comforting ourselves like David does in Psalm 16? He says, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. He's speaking to himself, "Soul, you said to the Lord, Thou art my Lord." Reminding ourselves that we have made a commitment. We are to be trusting in God. And so here he says, "The Most High, Thou hast made Thy habitation. You have made the Most High your home." And so you ask, how do we do that? How do we make the Lord our dwelling place? How do we abide in Him? How do we benefit from this truth? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do we do that? Well, basically, it's by looking to the Lord as our refuge, going to the Lord continually, consciously, seeking refuge in Him, trusting in the Lord. We are thereby abiding in Him. So both clauses, of course, go together. For Thou, Lord, art my refuge. The Most High, Thou hast made Thy habitation. So if you're going to the Lord for your refuge, then you are abiding there, in the refuge, in the fortress. An army of soldiers is approaching you. You're out in the field and you hear the distant marching. The cloud of dust rises. The soldiers are approaching. You're ready to flee for your life. You go to the fortress. And you say to yourself, "I'm going to stay here." So, abiding in the Lord is, first of all, trusting in Him, looking to Him for help, looking to Him as our refuge. And then we can't separate trust in the Lord from the basis of our acceptance with Him. In other words, if we are going to the Lord for our refuge, we must always go to Him through Christ. It's the same as praying in the name of Christ, drawing our strength, boldness, hope of acceptance with God from Christ and His mediation, drawing our strength and hope for an answer from Christ and what He has done. So it's trusting in the Lord must involve looking to Jesus. And the Savior, I believe, puts both together. He puts dwelling in Himself right there with trusting in Himself for life and salvation. I'm reminded of John chapter 6, verse 56, where the Lord Jesus says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." So, if we are looking to Christ crucified, if we are spiritually feeding upon the one who died on the cross as our spiritual bread, we're exercising faith in Christ. Christ crucified, looking to the one who suffered on the cross, he says we will abide in him or dwell in him. It's the same thing. And so we abide in Christ, we abide in God. He is our dwelling place if we are looking to Jesus who was crucified. If we are going to the cross, if we, as it were, sit at the foot of the cross, to use that expression as people have done, sitting at the foot of the cross, dwelling there, then we're, of course, dwelling in God as our habitation. Well, we go on in the second place to consider the perfect protection that the Lord gives from evil. Verse 10, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." As we said already, if the Lord is our hiding place, if we dwell in Him, then of course we are safe, and no real evil can penetrate our dwelling place. It follows that the Lord will keep us from evil, because nothing can diminish his happiness, his blessedness. And then, therefore, if we are abiding in him, nothing can take away our happiness if we dwell with him. So no evil shall come to you, and a stroke, as it is literally, a plague or stroke, shall not approach into thy tent. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So we may have many spiritual enemies. We may go through many difficult circumstances. But in a way, it's all external. It's on the outside. Our real home is in God. Our fortress is himself. We're safe in him. Our souls are abiding in him. And therefore, nothing can really do us harm. Nothing can take away the peace that God gives. That peace that passeth understanding. Nothing can take away our eternal life. What security of the possession that we have of eternal life. The Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anything or any man pluck them out of my hand." So our treasure is safe. If we're abiding in the secret place of the Most High, our treasure is in heaven, and nothing that defileth can enter heaven. Our souls are safe. The Apostle Paul says, in accordance with the psalmist, as he says time and again, the Lord is his secret place, his hiding place. Paul the Apostle says, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Your life is secluded. Nothing can reach that perfect, serene life that is in Christ, in God. The Apostle Peter says, "Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" Who can really hurt you if you follow God? The Savior himself says, "Not a hair of your head shall perish," in Luke chapter 21. And that teaches us how to interpret Psalm 91. Because we look at the psalm and we see the clear statements about God's people being kept from evil. But we know, experience tells us, that we're surrounded by evil and we feel the pain of suffering so often. But here the Lord Jesus, in the context of speaking about persecution, says, but in Luke chapter 21, verse 18, "But there shall not an hair of your head perish." And right before that, in verse 16, he says, "And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." And yet he speaks about that safety, which tells us we're not to interpret it literally. He says, "Not a hair of your head shall perish." He means that you will lose nothing. You may lose your life on earth, but your enemies are taking nothing away, and you are losing nothing, because it will all be made up to you in heaven. And it also means about it means that the Lord takes notice of everything that you go through. He preserves you, not only soul but body as well. He is in complete control. And the Lord's people, they are so loved and so protected by the goodness and care of God. It's as if they are not touched at all. So secure are their souls, so surrounded by the Lord's care, even for their bodies, it's as if not one of their hairs are plucked out. And the Lord loves his people and their bodies as well as their souls and will preserve them and care for them even in the hour of death, even in martyrdom. The Apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, when he is speaking of affliction, he is speaking of suffering, and all of these things are no evidence of being one of the lost. The sufferings that we go through do not indicate that we are yet cut off from God. No. The Apostle says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." This is the case. We are going through suffering. But does that mean we are cut off from the favor of God? Nay, he says, no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you are, as it were, saturated with the love of God in Christ, and you are persecuted by outward affliction in the world, are you really in danger of evil? No. And neither were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were directed, commanded to bow down before the image, they remained faithful. They wouldn't bow down before the image. They would not engage in idolatry, no matter what the king said, no matter what the consequences were. And they said that if it be so, God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. If it is God's will, we will not succumb to the flames at all. We will be delivered from the fiery furnace. But they knew that they didn't have a specific promise to be kept from every occasion of fire, of hurt, in this outward way. They said, verse 18 of Daniel chapter 3, "But if not, even if the Lord doesn't deliver us from this outward flame, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So they remained faithful. In spite of fierce persecution, the furnace was heated 7 times more than usual. But God was with them. They were cast into the fiery furnace, and the soldiers or officers that were in charge, they were burnt and they died. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were kept safe. So safe that the king was astonished when he saw that there was a fourth person with them. We want to believe, though it may not be so clear, that it was the Son of God himself who was there with them. And they came forth out of the furnace, and what do we read about them? The princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. So the Lord did deliver them after all, even in that outward way. But shouldn't this be our attitude in the face of opposition? The Lord is able to deliver us from the persecution that we face in the way He pleases, and He has promised to give grace. So why should we be full of anxiety? And if the Lord doesn't deliver us in the outward way, we have something even better laid up for us in heaven. Here on earth, we get the comfort of God's presence. And in heaven, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. As the Apostle Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." So if we are trusting in the Lord, then if we are saying, "Thou art my refuge," if we are making the Lord our habitation, if we are abiding in Him, then there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Why should we be for a moment full of anxious cares? What peace we often lose by not looking to the Lord. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee," dwelling, living at the throne of grace, "because he trusteth in Thee," Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. So, the Lord Jesus calls us to abide in Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. And may the Lord bless these meditations to us, enabling us to say of the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation, there shall no evil befall Thee, neither shall any plague come nigh Thy dwelling." May He bless His word.